Turn with me, if you would, now to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14. When I heard about our Lord calling our dear brother Mac home, I immediately felt compelled to bring you a message on that subject of the Lord calling his own home. By God's grace, it's something that we're all going to experience very soon. Very soon. Time truly is flying. It very much is flying. And it's something every one of us, if the Lord has revealed Christ to us, and if he's made Christ to be our hope and called us to him, then it's something that we're all going to experience. Every time we have a brother who experiences this, it makes it very real to me. We're all going to go through this and experience this. And as I thought on that subject, quite a few scriptures came to my mind. And I want to begin the message by reading a few of them to you. Look with me right here at Revelation 14, verse 13. It says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." That sounds wonderful, doesn't it? We hear about a believer who has died, and our first reaction is always, "Oh, no." That's what we do. That's always the first reaction. And the reason we do that is because we're saying that for ourselves. And we're saying that for the believer's family members. We hurt for them. We're saying that for the loved ones who have to stay here and grieve over their loss. That's why we're saying that. But God said, and we know that it's so. We just know that it's so. God said, the believer who has died in the Lord is blessed. That's a very, very blessed person. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, because they get to rest from all their labors. And their works do follow them. Labors means sorrow. When you look at the word labors and you look at the word work, it sounds like the same thing, but it's not the same word. Labors means sorrow. It means grief. It means trouble. Like when our Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest from it." And he does. If he will let us come to him, he'll give us rest from it. There are things, sometimes we bear burdens and we don't know we're bearing them until we finally realize, I have something I can take to the Lord. And once we take our burden to the Lord and leave it there, we can look back and say, that was a heavy burden. And he's taken it from me. And I can rest. But he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest from your labor. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, because they get to rest from all their labors, all their sorrows, all their griefs, all their trouble." And he said, "Their works do follow them," the works that were earned for them, all of their works. You know, by the time that a brother or a sister dies in the Lord, when that moment comes and that's it, they died in the Lord, Their works that they produced in this flesh are not their works. Christ took them and made them his very own. And the only works that they're credited to with, the only works that are accounted to them, the only works on their record, the only works that they will ever be known for are the works of Christ that he earned for them. And those works are going to follow them. When they go, those works are going to go with them. Everything he earned for them and everything he gave to them. And those works of righteousness, the scripture calls it, God's people get to experience those. From that moment, henceforth, forevermore. From that moment, forevermore. Ephesians 2 says, we are his workmanship. Philippians 2 says, it is God which worketh in us both to will and do of his good pleasure. And the moment that a believer in the Lord dies, he or she gets to experience all of that work that Christ earned for them and gave to them and laid on them. Just as our sins were laid on him, all of his righteousness was laid on us. And we can't experience that in this flesh. But the moment we lay it down, we're going to experience all of that wonderful work. And I don't know even how to put that into words, but just the thought of experiencing all that wonderful work. It's all going to follow his people, and they're going to know it and enjoy it from that moment forward. All right, turn with me to Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. God said that is precious. That moment, that event is precious. Not fearful, precious. Every human being is afraid of that moment. Every human being. The flesh is afraid of that moment. No matter how much faith the Lord gives us, it's a fearful thing. You know you're leaving this world. You know you're going to meet God. But in the Lord, it's not fearful. It's precious. It's not painful. It's precious. It is precious. And I know that it can't be described what that moment is like, but in a given instant, in the blink of an eye, all fear is vanished. And all pain is vanished. And that word precious means valuable. It means rare, and it means glorious. Think about the wording of this. Valuable in the sight of the Lord. That's a valuable moment. Costly. Knowing what it cost him to redeem his people. The Lord knows. He said, I remember the wormwood. I remember the gall. He knows what it cost him to redeem. And when one of his own is truly redeemed to him, that's a valuable moment. That's a costly moment. Glorious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's a glorious moment in the sight of the Lord. Now, those are both beautiful scriptures that encourage us in this thought of being called home. But the one I want to use for our text is Psalm 17. Go with me over there to Psalm 17. Psalm 17, verse 15, it says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." That's what happens for every believer when he or she dies in the Lord. That's what happens. He or she immediately beholds Christ's face in righteousness. Immediately. He or she is immediately satisfied. Immediately. And he or she is immediately realizes that they look just like him. That's what happens the moment that death takes place. And that's a glorious, precious, blessed moment. In that moment, they behold Christ's face in righteousness. In that moment, they're satisfied. And in that moment, they realize, I look just like him. I look just like him. Now, if you really start to think about this, it'll make you jealous over the one who has been called home. And that's a strange thing. That is a strange thing. The song says, "When all my labors and trials are over, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore will through the ages be glory for me." Now, let me tell you something that I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to not growing tired in the flesh, and I'm looking forward to not growing tired in the spirit. I'm looking forward to coming to worship with such enthusiasm in my heart and excitement and heartburn that it never goes away. I'm looking forward to worshiping him with my whole heart and my whole mind and my whole body, not just a little piece of it while the rest of me is somewhere else. I'm ready to be in the moment. That's what I want. And when all my labors and trials are over here, and I'm safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore through the ages, that's going to be glory for me. And that's just going to be glory for me. Friends will be there I have loved long ago. And that'll be wonderful. Joy like a river around me will flow, yet just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. I can't wait to see him smile. I'm looking very forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing his features. I'm looking forward to hearing the sound of his voice. I'm looking very forward to that. David said, "I will behold his face in righteousness. I will behold him." When he came to this earth, the apostles, the disciples, the people on this earth saw him, but he veiled himself in human flesh. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he unveiled himself. And they, James and John said, "You ain't never seen a white like that before." He was so white, no fuller can make something that white. And when that moment comes, David said, "I'll behold his face in righteousness," not behind a veil, but in righteousness. And he's saying, "I will behold him in righteousness, not in my sinfulness like I am now. I will behold him in his righteousness, and I will behold him in his righteousness." Meaning, I'll see it and I'll wear it. All of it's going to be righteousness. That's the only thing that's going to be there is righteousness. I'm going to see it on him and I'm going to see it on me. And that's going to be glory. That's going to be glory. His very own righteousness that he clothed me in. And wrapped around me and covered me in. Verse 15 says, I will behold his face, thy face, in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied. I will be satisfied. I'll tell you something that we have never yet experienced. We don't know anything of it. Nothing of it. We may be a lot of things, but I'll tell you something, we have never been in our flesh satisfied. Not one time ever. For one fleeting moment, we thought we were, but turns out we weren't. The moment we behold Christ's face in righteousness, we will have seen all we will ever need to see. Honestly, we will be satisfied. I'm satisfied. There will be no feeling of lack. You ever feel like you just don't quite have enough? Not enough happiness. Not enough, and go on and on and on and on. In that moment, the moment we behold Christ's face in righteousness, there won't be 1 ounce of a feeling of lack. There'll be nothing more to attain. There are things that every person in this room wants and doesn't have yet. The moment we behold his face in righteousness, there will be nothing else to attain. Nothing else. We will know what it feels like to have it all. We'll know what it feels like, and we'll be satisfied. We'll be satisfied in him, totally satisfied in him. And in that moment of wearing his righteousness and enjoying his satisfaction, we're going to, in that moment, know the glory of being like him. We will know what can't even be imagined in our mind right now. Everybody has tried to imagine what heaven's going to be like and seeing Christ is going to be like and being sinless. Everybody's tried to imagine that. It can't be done. It cannot be done. Go with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. You don't know when it's going to happen. It happens very quickly. Whether that day is when the Lord comes for his people individually by taking them in death, or whether it's that great day when he comes for all of his people collectively and gathers them to himself. Either way, verse 2 says, yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Verse 3 says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for an helmet and hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. The only reason that we have this precious hope of being blessed to see Christ and to bear His image in glory. The only reason we have that hope is because He came to us and redeemed us from all our sin, everything that was anti-God. He made death blessed for us. He made it precious for us. And He did that by beholding us in our sin. David said, I'm going to behold Him in His righteousness. Well, He beheld us in our sin and He took it from us. He removed Himself from everything that was satisfactory to God. In the presence of glory, everything was satisfied, satisfactory. And He removed Himself from it by making Himself to bear the unsatisfactory image of our likeness. And when He did that, He redeemed us from our likeness. David said, I'm going to awake with your likeness. Well, it's only because He died with our likeness. It's the only reason. The song says, Adam's likeness now efface. Stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. And that's exactly what He did when He redeemed us in His blood. I had the privilege of being the song leader in Rocky Mount for 8 or 9 years, something like that. And in that time, I got to know what many of the brethren's favorite songs were. And I've told you this so many times, but Brother Mac is the one who his favorite hymn was number 37, How Great Thou Art. And every time he would request it, and I think about this for a testimony. I want to be known for something like this. What a witness this is. But every time he would come up to me and say, and I can hear it in his voice, he'd say, can we sing number 37? And I'd say, absolutely. Oh, I love number 37. Every single time, I don't ever remember a time where he did not say, make sure we sing verse 3. Don't forget verse 3. I'd tell him, buddy, if that's the only verse we sing, I'll make sure we sing verse 3. And when I think, here's what it says, and when I think, and I hope his family gets to know this. This was his hope. This is my hope. And I believe he meant these words and felt these words. But it says, and when I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. That's not religion. That's salvation. That's grace. That's mercy. I think about the fact that He is right now entering into that like He never has before. For years, He loved Him, number 37, and I believe He's singing in His heart. When I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Can you imagine how much He's entering into that right now? Seeing what He sees, seeing what Christ left. Can you imagine entering into the glory that Christ left? You left this to go there? To do this for me? We're trying to enter into it now, but we haven't yet. But He's right now knowing like He's never known before. and entering in like he's never entered in before, and he's understanding like he's never understood before what Christ was made to be for him and what Christ did for him. And he knows, and he's saying, Christ is what made my death blessed. His death redeemed me from all my sin. He knows that like he's never known it before. Because of that, he knows I can behold him in righteousness. And all of God's people will know that I can behold him in righteousness. And because of that, I'm satisfied. Because I now bear the likeness and the image of him. I bear the likeness and the image of him. Just wait. You just wait. Turn with me to Philippians 1. I'll be quick. Philippians 1. Paul is in prison here. Philippians 1, verse 19. It says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I know not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Far better. Paul quoted Isaiah 64 to the Corinthians, in saying, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him and look to him and wait for him." Eye hath not seen. It is far better. Don't turn, but over in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul said, "While we are in this body, we groan. And we're burdened because we're clothed with sin and death." That's what we're clothed with. But he said, "To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord." And joy and peace, clothed in righteousness and life. And he said, it's far better. It's just far better. People say all the time, "Well, he's in a better place now," or "she's in a better place now." We have no idea. We just have no idea. We cannot imagine what life with Christ is going to be like. But he said, there's going to be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears, no more corruption, no more mortality, no more death. Every old, sorrowful, sinful thing is going to pass away. And all things are going to become new. Everything and everyone is going to have the dew of youth on his or her brow because Christ does. And as he is, that's what they're going to be. In his image, that's their image. And we'll have the comfort and we'll have the assurance of belonging to him forever. Do you ever have that thought, "I wonder if I belong to him"? Never again. Never again. We will have the comfort and the assurance that we belong to him forever and ever. Go with me to Romans 14. I'll close with this. Romans 14, verse 7. It says, "For none of us liveth to himself, And no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. That's the comfort that we'll carry with us for all eternity. No matter what, we belong to him. And we're going to be with him where he is. And he said, it's paradise. He said, it's paradise. God's people are not hung up on golden streets and all those kinds of things. But whether somebody's hung up on it or not, Christ said, it's paradise. Absolute paradise. It's a place without sin, where everybody there beholds his face in righteousness and is completely satisfied because they all awake with his likeness, every one of us. Every one of them knows we belong to him. May God make that precious to us, bless it to us. All right, let's all stand together.